Hey everyone, it's Mary Lou Tyler, and today's guest is the VP of Sales at LearnCore. His formal on his LinkedIn is Patrick Rogers, but do you like to be called Pat or Patrick?
Pat's usually what comes out, but I tell everybody whatever you can actually remember is probably the best.
Okay, so we'll go a little formal introducing him as Patrick today. Patrick Rogers is with us. Again, he's the VP of Sales at LearnCore. He'll tell you more about what LearnCore does. He's also involved with the American Association of Inside Sales Professionals. So we may touch on that a little bit. Because if for those of you in the Chicago area who are listening to this, you may want to ping Patrick about that chapter, and there's a lot going on there. So just wanted to throw that out there. Welcome to the podcast, Patrick.
Thank you very much for having me.
So you are the VP of Sales at LearnCore. You've pretty much, we talked a little bit before this, you have definitely embraced the idea of prospecting as a function of sales. Tell us exactly, where you are in your journey of blending prospecting, selling, servicing into your types of roles that you offer at LearnCore, and also what you've learned along the way. And maybe there are some things that you're doing now that you started down a path and then said, you know what, this is just not working for us, and then pivoted. So we'd like to hear about not only the perfect situation of what you've established now, but some of the bumps and bruises along the way of you getting to where you are right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And probably the best place to start is just mentioning that we're a bootstrap company, and that presents a number of challenges as you scale. And one of those being headcount and how many folks are we putting on just prospecting versus actually closing. And, you know, I think a big challenge that we all face is what roles are we actually asking a salesperson to do in terms of the overall process. And that piece became kind of a challenge as we started to add additional AEs that may or may not want to be prospecting. And, you know, there's always the time allocation piece. And so the early on, having them do both roles worked for a while, but once you get a certain level of deals under your belt and your pipeline grows, the time is always going to lead to closing deals as opposed to finding new ones. And so our big challenge in that sense was figuring out a way to make SDRs, business development reps, whatever you call them in your organization, less of a cost center and more of a potential scale driver as we grew the company.
Okay. So give us a sense of the sales cycles that you're dealing with on average. I know there's probably segmentation going on in your company, as with most companies, in the products and services timelines. But give us a sense of the average deal size range and also perhaps the average deal size length of what we're talking about as we walk through what you're doing now with your prospecting folks.
Absolutely. So we're looking at somewhere on the length of time, somewhere between, you know, 50 to 60 days in a lot of cases, our average, as well as then the size of the deal is somewhere between the 25 to 30 range on average. And that's across both our what we consider our SMB and our mid-market teams. Mm-hmm. And from there, you see the variation across the board. You know, we have very, very large clients that, you know, may take up to a year. And we have some that have used us before, call in, and they're ready to go, you know, in 10 days. And so the variation is always an interesting challenge to face as well when planning. But on average, you know, let's call it 25K per deal and about a 50-day sales cycle.
Okay, great. So based on that, walk us through how you decided to end up where you are today, knowing that we're always pivoting, we're always testing, we're always iterating, but you've obviously found a formula that's working for you and your organization and your team. So let's start at where you were, what you've been doing, and what how you came out the other side of setting up your teams.
Absolutely. So I think the where we were was a number of AEs that essentially when we closed a number of dollars, we were able to add headcount. The challenge that we faced then was what kind of headcount was that? And we wanted it to be AEs, but finding good AEs that, one, are willing to go end-to-end in a sales cycle where they're actually doing their own prospecting all the way to closing that deal, and in our case, being able to actually demonstrate software, those were few and far between here in Chicago that we were finding that were willing to, you know, come to a smaller company and actually lead that sales cycle end-to-end. So what we decided to do was build a career path that was bringing in folks that may not be from a software background, as well as those straight out of school, and setting it up where what they were going to be doing for the first 9 to 12 months was that prospecting piece. But throughout that entire journey, they're going to be sitting on the discovery calls that they set. They're going to be understanding and sitting in our strategy discussions about the deals, so that when they come out the other side of that 9 to 12 month program, they not only have been prospecting and setting meetings and know how to hunt, but they've also learned how we do things at LearnCore. They've learned them the way that we'd like them to do that from start to finish. And what we've seen out of that is they end up being some of our top producers very, very quickly, because they've had that time to acclimate not just to hunting, but also to how to drive the process, how to close deals, how to understand how to uncover needs and pain points, and thus become very, very strong reps right away who are hunting for their own deals because that's what they're used to. And so that's been the big journey, and setting up that program has not only allowed us to accelerate what we're doing from a growth standpoint, but also attract talent who doesn't want to wait in line for, you know, the 2 to 3 years you may need to wait at a big company to be out there and owning your own accounts.
So walk us through then, I come in, I'm a prospecting role. Am I assigned an account executive that I work with, or am I getting the love from all the different account executives that I'm setting appointments and things for? How did that work? Are you pairing people up or potting people up, or are you spreading the love around the entire teams?
So we definitely, when you initially come in, you are paired to a geographic market. And okay. Currently you've got two reps within that geographic market that you're working with, both with the one from the SMB team and one from the mid-market team. Mm-hmm. And so you do get a kind of a collaboration of perspectives from those two reps. And then as we, you know, continue to grow, that usually rotates some of those SDRs around every few months, and thus they get to see another perspective from another rep. So we try to not do it too often so that they know their market, they know their messaging, but we also want to make sure that they get that perspective from different reps, because that's really what's going to make them a much better seller, is to build their own path and be able to see how others are doing it.
So when you're walking in from a funnel perspective, and we're looking at relative position in the pipeline, I'm coming in a prospecting role. Am I trying to get all the way through to setting up the appointment with the account executive and then attending those meetings? Or am I also at the trying to train to do demos or anything like that? Or, you know, what's the demarc that you see with these different roles?
Absolutely. So what we've done is to actually set up a path where within the first 3 months, your entire goal is to get meetings set with your account executive. And you are sitting there on those meetings, learning from them, and really just focusing on that discovery aspect of the process. Mm-hmm. Once you get past that, assuming you're achieving your goals, which we have set at, you know, 13 to 15 meetings a month that are held by those SDRs. In those cases, when they start to hit those goals, then they have the ability to sit on the discovery. And the actual demo process as well. Okay. So they start to be a shadow through the process, because if they're hitting their goals, we can then assume that we can give a little bit more time to training, because they are able to handle both things. And once they start to get through that process, then they're seeing it end to end. And after 6 months, then we start actually training them on how to demo behind the scenes. And we were able to actually use LearnCore to do a lot of that, which helps out in terms of the time management perspective. Mm-hmm. But it is all about continuously increasing their knowledge and their ability to lead that process before they actually have to.
So I love this idea of shadowing. And I think I also love what you said about the fact that they've got to hit goal, which by definition frees up time, if there's time left, to do other activities and to increase their knowledge and to shadow into different areas. Are you, now that you've been doing this for some time, are you pretty sure or can you budget in your timeline pretty easily now? You know that's going to take X number of months for someone to get up to speed on average and then move them through that kind of assembly line? Or is it based on the person who you hire?
I would say it probably always comes down to the person you hire, in terms of the range, because we're looking at, you know, 9 months if you're a person that's a rock star and picks it up quickly. Mm-hmm. And we're probably looking at 12 months if it takes you a little bit more time. I think the number one piece of all that is business acumen and their ability to understand why questions are being asked and what questions to ask throughout the process and align that to value. But at the end of the day, we know what it's going to take to get them from point A to point B. And the beautiful thing is that when I'm hiring a AE from the outside, we're looking at 3 months to first sale, 6 months to full quota attainment. With one of these individuals that's moving from an SDR position into an AE position, mm-hmm. I'm looking at 30 days to first deal and potentially, you know, 60 days to 90 days to full quota, which is, you know, significant improvement and proves out why we're able to invest more heavily in SDRs if we know that they're ultimately going to scale the business faster.
Plus, I would think, you know, as coming in as a salesperson, there is still a psychological thing going on about this is a junior role if I'm an SDR. I know for those of you out there listening who are like me, eternal SDRs, because I love that top of the funnel. I love starting conversations with people we don't know. And then my eyes kind of glaze over when it gets to opportunity to close. But there are many people who come into a company and they're looking for that upward path. They're looking to grow. They're looking to try other things within the company to see where they fit best. What happens in the case of an SDR who says, you know, I'm kind of liking my gig here. Can I stay here? Or is there an unwritten rule that no, when you're coming into this role, we really want to move you?
Yeah, no, I would say, you know, those individuals, gosh, if I can find more of them, that's fantastic. Because at the end of the day, you know, the lifeblood of the organization is going to be those new opportunities, those new prospects, and bringing those into the funnel. Now, in those cases, absolutely, they can stay. You know, as we continue to grow, since we are a small company and we can make adjustments quickly, they have opportunities to be team leads. They have opportunities to be, you know, managers over the SDR team. One thing we talk about is if you are going to be a manager here, you're going to still be doing the activities and actions that others are going to be doing. You know, not taking it all the way to a player coach role, but in order to coach, you got to know what's going on in the market and stay up to speed on that. So definitely they have that opportunity. I was, Sean Shepard was, here talking to our team a little bit ago and mentioned that, you know, he's the founder of his company, but said he promoted himself to SDR. And I love that, right? That's, I mean, our job as heads of sales and team leads is to open the door for our team, make this, an easier path. And anybody that, you know, loves that role and can stay in it, absolutely stay in it.
Yeah. The other thing I like about this, I know these are very soft metrics, but just being out there in the field working with clients, I'm sure your handoff percentages from, you know, a sales qualified lead to an accepted lead by the outside teams are probably way high as opposed to some of the things I see when I'm running around with clients. And that is the lead quality. There's this constant battle on that handoff is the toughest part. Things right. like that probably don't even exist, or they're very small issues in nature because of this model that you've implemented. Is that a good assumption?
I would say at this point, yes. Initially, not as much. You know, there was a big change we had to make. You know, AEs, when you first start, when they've been doing it themselves and now somebody else is bringing them leads, They don't always cherish them as much. I think that's going to be a true across the board, and thus weren't preparing as well for those conversations. And so an adjustment we made is that there is a requirement if an SDR sets you a meeting, you two together have a pre-call prep session 15 minutes before the call. And you go through what that SDR uncovered to actually set the meeting, the conversation that happened, the AE brings any research that they did to the table, so that going into that conversation, they're on the same page and you don't have an awkward handoff. And I think that's very, very important, is to make sure that that handoff, even if you get them on the phone and it's going well, that there shouldn't be any awkwardness in that call. It should be smooth for the buyer, and you shouldn't have to restate a lot of things. And so that pre-call prep change that we made has definitely increased our ability to convert faster and ensure that those are converting to actual opportunities.
That's great. Yeah, we have implemented what we call a one sheet, which is from the entertainment industry, which is to really put all of the main points. And there's like five buckets, I think most of my clients use, of being able to encapsulate from the SDR's point of view where things are in the project, the major stakeholders, the pain points or challenges or initiatives that they indicated on their calls, so that the account executive is almost got a small little blueprint of where to drive the conversation so that they feel good about creating the opportunity. We also created one for those opportunities that the timing parameter was a little bit outside the AE's comfort zone, but yet they were a qualified op. And so what that does is it gives the SDR and the AE a blueprint plan to follow. So the SDR stays involved, but not as much. Because of the fact that it's a longer sales cycle, it doesn't just get dumped in the AE lap. They work together on a plan of how they're going to bring that timeline in or stay involved, because the SDR has more of that habit of follow-up embedded in their psyche and their DNA. So they help the AEs in terms of the follow-up pieces on those longer accounts. But it all starts with that one sheet of, okay, how are you going to go after this thing together?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And one thing we've done there too is SDRs get a percentage of the deal if it closes. And so when we have team meetings, you know, I push my SDRs early on to stay on their AEs, apply a little pressure. Hey, I handed you this gift basket. When's my side coming in? And so that's definitely helped to build not just that motivation, but also a lot of camaraderie. Where they actually feel like they're in the trenches together, which I think has been, in my experience, one of the things that is missed in that connection between the SDRs and the AEs.
Yeah, definitely. I want to be respectful of our listeners' time, but I have to ask, you know, the behavioral aspect of an SDR versus an AE is something that I hit home a lot about and write a lot about. And it's this concept of moving from sheer will to habit. And so we pass through desire, we pass through determination, we pass through drive, and we end up with a habitual way of selling that is successful for the SDR. What happens to them when they move into that account executive role? Are you seeing that same sort of diligent, daily, consistent workflow coming out of them when they move into these roles, or do they slack off a bit? What are you seeing?
Yeah, so far what we've seen is that they're bringing that and more, because that once that's ingrained, and I call it, you shouldn't say you've got a sales DNA unless you've been an SDR, because that's where it's imprinted on you. That's the time where those general skills you're learning, not just from rejection handling to being perseverance and continuing to grind and have that, you know, ability to do time management to achieve those goals, flows through. And in a lot of cases, I'm now motivated even more so, because I'm not handing these off and getting a small percentage. I'm owning these from start to finish. Right. And so that's been interesting to see, because now I'm even more motivated, and there's not usually a slowdown there, because now these are my deals. And so that's been really helpful. And in terms of that habit, in a lot of cases, we should make every step of the sales process a habit. And so by taking the habitual nature of being an SDR and applying that to every step of the sales process, they then become a machine. And that's really the big thing that we've seen is the ability to replicate that over time.
Yeah. I try not to use that word machine, but that's really what it is. I mean, it's really just getting up in the morning and you have a routine, you have a dance, you have a rhythm that you do every day, and that we learn that and we become that in that SDR role. And I like to think it's because we're working so many records that we really need to have that discipline, but also discipline is not enough. We need to actually bring it all the way up to habit. So I'm happy to hear that those ingrained brain patterns are still moving through, because that's another area that I see that it's sometimes difficult moving from that role, is that you get lazy again, and we don't want them to do that. We really want them to take the best of the best of what they ended up becoming habit in the SDR role and taking that with them as they move into the account executive roles, knowing that, you know, we're moving from a dating environment, so to speak, to an actual kind of getting engaged and married sort of environment where we're not going to be working with as many people, but it's still that drive, that discipline, that habit still has to be there for that follow-up. Have you seen also, and I don't want to feed you this, but have you seen a reduction in the lag in the pipeline by doing this type of stepping stone model?
I would say so. I mean, I think the biggest thing is that we can now be more predictable about our headcount. And at the end of the day, as I'm looking at, you know, what does the pipeline look like? What's our ultimate goals? We can be more predictable in knowing that if I move somebody from that role up into the AE role, that timeline is going to be something we know. Mm-hmm. And much different than bringing somebody in from the outside. And so that's definitely a big piece of being able to make that something that we can expect as opposed to hope for.
You know, that's so funny you say that. I was at a conference just recently where a gentleman got up and shared his numbers and metrics. And they had it down to, you know, how many records they need to feed in at the top of funnel in order to generate the revenue that they're looking for. And it just felt so easy, so soft, so, you know, just like wonderful. And it sounds like you're, you know, kind of getting into that rhythm where you really know what you need to do to generate revenue from the standpoint of the pipeline. You know, sometimes you can't guess what's going to happen out in the industry or other, factors that you have no control over. But the ones you have control over, it sounds like you're definitely on your way to being able to create a model that's predictable in nature.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that's the ultimate goal. And I don't know if any of us will ever have that silver bullet or else we wouldn't be in sales anymore. But, you know, constant innovation will help us get there. But definitely for a few of the roles and targets we have, we can be very specific about how we get there.
Wonderful. So let's help someone who's listening to this call and says, wow, okay, I kind of want to try this, but where do I begin? What would you recommend for someone who is thinking along these lines that this is something they'd like to give a shot, put into place? How did you begin?
Yeah, absolutely. So the best way to begin is looking at, you know, what does it take from your training perspective for a new AE to get them to where you need them to be? Mm-hmm. And then breaking that down into essentially a career path and saying that, okay, over the time that I have this individual in this role, here are the steps that they're going to need to learn. And how do I include them in a way that it is incremental but consistent in order to ingrain some of those habits, get some of those questions out early so that I'm not having to invest a ton of time up front to train a brand new AE. I can do it over time while still driving that overall SDR production. So I think you have to start with your sales process, understand what they're going to need to learn along the way, and then outline those steps along with the timeline you want them in that role.
Okay, but it starts with the account executive role itself, not the SDR role, correct? Is that what I heard you say?
Absolutely. So we need to know exactly what an AE is going to need to be successful, map that out, and then take that basically map and align it to the timeline you have with your SDRs and implement those trainings along the way.
Okay, very good. Now, the last question I have for you is in terms of tracking, and it's more of, once again, at the SDR level, we are a lot more savvy about how important it is to track meaningful conversations. Since you've got them now habitually having more conversations that are meaningful in nature, are they also carrying their good tracking skills as they move through to the AE role in order to be able to feedback the sales conversations that they're having for marketing or product development or whatever it is? Do you see that that compliance is still coming through as well in the AE role when they move?
I would say for the most part, I think the biggest area that we're going to continue to improve upon is once they get to the back end of the cycle, you end up having a lot of conversations, negotiations, IT checks, you name it, and knowing how to monitor and drive those aspects from both a compliance, am I asking the right questions, am I, tracking that information, that piece is one where we're going to continue to work on, because there's parts of the SDR role that are detail-oriented, but as far as the conversations and data points, that's the piece that is probably the biggest hurdle, is getting them to understand, hey, there's a lot more here that you need to juggle and be sure that you're tracking it and asking those questions early and often. That's probably the biggest area that we're going to continue to work on to make sure that they have that compliance throughout the process.
Wonderful. And there are tools now that I'm seeing popping up that are helping with that follow-up process. So there's less reliance on manual data entry and, allowing technology to help us, what I would call wrap up a conversation, so that we can take the intelligence of that conversation and feed it back within the organization for marketing purposes, for better sales conversations, to shorten the pipeline lag, et cetera, et cetera. So Patrick, how can people get a hold of you if they want to learn more about what you've done at your company?
Yeah, absolutely. LearnCore online, you can definitely hit me up that direction. LinkedIn, big LinkedIn, I've got it constantly up. And then if you want to hit me up on Twitter, it's P_Rodge, R-O-D-G-E. Happy to connect with anybody on the process and how we're able to streamline that as well.
Okay, great. And I'll put all this in the show notes, everyone, so you'll have all of his information, contact information. I do recommend that you have a conversation here, because, we've talked about a lot of different ways of setting up a sales organization. And, not all the roles work the way the books that I've written and collaborated on are saying. I mean, there's different strokes for different folks, so to speak. So I think a lot of what I'm seeing and what we're learning is that we have to look at these different models and then apply it to our culture and our company to see if this model will work. But, these numbers sound great, of shortening the timeline to get someone up to speed so they could start generating revenue. It feels like it's a really great model to at least explore in more depth. Thank you so much for your time today. I very much appreciate you sharing your setup and learning more about how you generate revenue for your company.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. Great time.